Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship today, Sunday, the 14th of March, 2021. I'd like to just start by giving a few announcements. Today, our brother Laurie Hayes will be bringing God's word to us, and that will be later on in this particular service. The announcements for the week are that on Wednesday evening at 7:30, we meet for prayer by Zoom, of course. And this Wednesday, we'll be looking at Psalm 81, and then we go into a time of prayer. Next Sunday, our preacher will be our good friend Jim Gladstone from Edinburgh. And we look forward to his word to us as well. One of the best pieces of news that I think we've had for a long time is that we will be able to reopen the church fairly shortly for worship services. In fact, we will start on Sunday, March the 28th. So that's the week after Jim Gladstone will be preaching. But of course, we still have to observe all the usual restrictions in terms of keeping our distance from people in other households. And that means that because of the size of our building, we do have to limit the attendance to a maximum of 40. So if you would like to come, and be included in that 40, I would ask you to please get in contact with me or with one of the deacons between now and the Saturday before to let one of us know that you're intending to come. Another piece of good news that I'd like to bring to you is that, as many of you know, certainly the members will know, that we had a ballot to decide on whether we sensed the Lord was leading us to call Andy Oliver to be our next pastor. And the outcome of that ballot was a very decisive vote in favour of calling him. That call was extended to him. And I'm pleased to say that he has accepted the call. So very good news indeed. Andy is still at the moment contracted to the army. His present position is as a chaplain in the army. And of course, he has to work out his notice there and finalise arrangements. And so he won't be starting with us here in Cowdenbeath until later in the year. We're looking at something like the 1st of October, but it could even be as late as the 1st of December. But nevertheless, he will be able to come and preach for us on at least one Sunday a month between now and then. It's just that he won't be able to take up his full ministerial duties, of course, until we can properly contract him. So that's good news, and I think that's all I really want to say before we get down to worship. And as a call to worship, I'd like to just read the first three verses from Psalm number 18. It says, "I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Well, what a wonderful Lord that is, that we come before this morning to bring our praise and our worship. We call upon the Lord as we worship him now in song.
years I spent in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me.
Shall we now come before our Heavenly Father in prayer? Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, our gracious God, we do marvel at the fact that there are so many things that we have to give you thanks for. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us as your people. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us clearly. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the creation that we see all around us. And Lord, as we note that the days are getting longer and days are getting brighter, we thank you, Lord, for the unfailing cycle of the seasons. We look around and we see the daffodils, we see the snowdrops, we see the crocuses all coming up and reminding us of new life. And Lord, it gladdens our heart. Lord, we give you thanks for the beauty of your creation. We also thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that although we could not approach you because our sin has spoiled the communion that we had with you, Lord, in Jesus we are united. We are united with him in his death and in his resurrection, his death which atones for our sin, and his resurrection which guarantees us new life in him. Lord, we thank you for that. We confess our sin and we say to you that we are sorry for it. And Lord, we receive your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you for our church. Lord, we pray for the unity of the body. We pray for our joint witness in the community and in the town. And Lord, we pray that the gospel would go forward clearly and loudly in this place. We thank you for Andy Oliver and for his family. We thank you, Lord, for guiding them. And we pray for them too over the coming months as they prepare to make a big change in their lives, to move house. Lord, we pray for them being able to find a suitable house around here. And Lord, we just commit to you all those details that need to be ironed out. We pray at this time too for one of our missionary partners, Joy Ransom, who at this moment is making her way back to Nepal. Lord, we pray that you would go with her, that you would prepare the way. And although the journey there is going to take many days, Lord, we ask that you would keep her safe, that you would keep her healthy, and that you would give her joy in her heart as she returns to the people that she loves. Father, we pray for those who are in authority over us. We pray for our governments, that you would continue to speak to them, that they may lead and govern wisely and well. Lord, we pray that we would support them and never forget to pray for them. We pray for our brother Laurie as he brings your word to us this morning. Lord, we ask that you would anoint that word, that you would minister it to each one of our hearts, and that, Lord, we may respond appropriately to whatever it is you're saying to us. Lord, we pray that everyone who hears the word would not be left untouched, but Lord, that your spirit would do the work in every heart of whatever is necessary, of convicting, of challenging, of encouraging, whatever that may be, Lord. We do pray for the preaching of your gospel here. We pray for the preaching of your gospel around the world on this, the Lord's Day. And Lord, we pray that all who hear your word may give you thanks and praise because of it. And Lord, we commit all these things to you and ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.
I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I Am, to you I sing, for you're the
this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. It is the story of Jesus as he heals 10 men with leprosy. From Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When they saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go, your faith has made you well.
We'll really look at the story of the 10 lepers who met with the Lord Jesus Christ. This wonderful incident in the life of our Lord Jesus is unique to the Gospel of Luke. No other Gospel records this wonderful incident. Among other things, it highlights what God thinks about our attitude to Him and what He has done and is doing for each one of us. You see, is our glass half empty or half full? When we hear news, is our initial reaction one of nitpicking or enthusiasm? When we worked for the Lord in West Yorkshire, we knew an older lady who made a profession of faith. I remember distinctly one day visiting her. I visited her fairly regularly, but this one day, and whenever we were sitting there, she came out with this litany of negatives. She complained about everybody and everything. And as I listened for a while, then I got up and put my jacket on and I sat there. Psalm 103, verse 2. Forget not, all has benefits. Sadly, our Christian culture today is not immune to ingratitude, thanklessness. This oughtn't to be. The Bible, in the Bible, a thankless Christian is a contradiction in terms. Scripture's full of commands to give thanks to God. For example, Psalm 107 and verse 1 tells us, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. In our passage today, the 10 lepers who met with Jesus is a lovely example of this. Notice firstly, 10 lepers meet Jesus. In verse 12 of our passage, we read, As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, You see, leprosy is a vigorously contagious disease. By law, those inflicted with it had to live separate from society, far away from their loved ones and friends and from the village they lived in. And this was a requirement of the law, as we find it in Leviticus chapter 13. As we see, these 10 lepers obeyed the law as it required them. You notice in verse 12, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a difference and cried out to him. 10 lepers would have been in various stages of the disease. It meant their noses and fingers and toes would have been in different stages of not being there anymore. But they were human beings, you see, living separate from their loved ones. Notice that Jesus took time for these poor 10 men. What's important here, as we read at the beginning of verse 11, we notice, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus had his eyes firmly fixed on Jerusalem. His work was almost finished. and his disciples were almost ready to take over, spreading across the world the good news of our Lord Jesus. You see, the disciples knew that one day they would be sharing the gospel. This trip to Jerusalem would end in Christ's death. Jesus would be taken by the Jews. He would be illegally tried by them and by the Romans. He would be cruelly mistreated, then crucified on Calvary. This section of Luke's Gospel from chapter 9 to chapter 19 is called the Journey to Jerusalem. Seven times in this passage, Luke mentions that Jesus is on a journey to Jerusalem. On this journey, from chapters 9 to 19, Jesus meets a whole array of different characters and is involved in different conversations with people as he meets them. You see, he had time for people. Even though his face was set towards Jerusalem, when he met somebody who needed help, he was there. He was interested. The 10 lepers cried out to Jesus in verse 13, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Isn't that interesting? These men were at the end of their tether. They had obviously heard about Jesus, the miracles that he had done. Maybe he is the answer to their miserable life. You see, you notice that they didn't ask for healing. They asked for mercy. As I considered this cry of the 10 lepers, I immediately thought about the poor tax collector we read about in Luke chapter 18, who, you remember, was in the temple and appealed to God, just like the 10 lepers. In chapter 18, verse 13, we read that the tax collector was standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that's what's needed in our lives. That's what's needed in the lives of the world. Mercy from God. When we approach God, we need to remember that Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in them, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." 10 lepers meet Jesus. Secondly, 10 lepers healed by Jesus. In verse 14, we read, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Jesus' command required absolute obedience based on some level of faith that these 10 men had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus simply said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Jesus didn't touch them. He didn't say, "You are healed." Jesus said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." It was the law of the land that when someone was healed of leprosy, they would go to the priests, who would examine them and declare them fit to re-enter society. These 10 lepers were to act as though they were healed. Now think about it. Jesus told them to go to the priest, the only person who was authorized to welcome them back into society. But as Jesus said this, they still were leprous. But just notice their faith in the Lord Jesus. In verse 14, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Now notice that very carefully. It was only when they obeyed Jesus that they were healed. "And as they went, they were cleansed." When Jesus told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," they were still leprous. It was only when they went, they were cleansed. all 10 were healed. They didn't have a mirror to see themselves, but they noticed their companions. As they were on their way to the priest, as Jesus had commanded them, they were all healed. This wonderful obedience of the 10 lepers always reminds me of Moses at the Red Sea. Just imagine it. There they are, behind them is Pharaoh and his 600 war chariots. And in front of them, the Red Sea. They were trapped. No escape. And we read that the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 14, we read, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground." What did Moses do? It was madness. 600 chariots behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. What did Moses do? We read again in Exodus 14. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. You'll notice that the Red Sea didn't part until Moses obeyed what God instructed him. God, on Moses' obedience to him, parted the Red Sea. So with the lepers, as they turned in obedience to what Jesus commanded them, then God healed them. And so with us, spiritual blessing only and always comes in the pathway of obedience. We miss many, many blessings because in the pathway of obedience, there's far too little of as they went in our lives. If we obey the Lord, he will add the blessing. 10 lepers meet Jesus. 10 lepers healed by Jesus. And finally, one leper thanks Jesus. Verse 15, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Now he was a Samaritan. We remind ourselves that this incident happened on the border between Samaria and Galilee. Verse 11, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee." This accounts for the fact that this was a mixed race group of lepers, Jews and Samaritans. Of the 10 lepers who were healed, it was a Samaritan, a foreigner, who decided that his visit to the priest would have to wait. His spiritual obligation of thanksgiving to God overrode his ceremonial requirements. We read in verse 15, "Praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him." The 9 ungrateful, cleansed lepers didn't appreciate what had happened to them. And Jesus, we read in these words, Jesus' disappointment. In verse 17, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Notice the amazement in Jesus' voice. "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You see, the Jews and the Samaritans, we understand, didn't get on. They didn't mix together. And Jesus asked these rhetorical questions in astonishment and disappointment that not one of the Jews thought fit to do what the Samaritan, this foreigner, had done. And notice the reaction of the grateful Samaritan. Verse 15, "Praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." As believers, Who do we stand with? The nine or the one? Do we really appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each one of us? In a recent prayer meeting, we considered the things that we could and should give thanks to God for. Of the whole plethora of reasons for believers to give thanks to God, possibly the highest is to thank God for our salvation. That must rank at the top. That God rescued us from the prospect of hell demands our thanksgiving. Psalm 40 and verse 2 tells us, He brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. We thank God also for a purpose in life. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and 10, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And also, God is always with us, through thick and thin. He commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, we're in the middle of this lockdown. All of us are getting incredibly bored with the whole situation. But God assures us that He's here with us. And in these difficulties that we're going through, we're to rejoice always. We're to pray without ceasing, giving thanks in our circumstances. It's interesting that this is the only occasion in the New Testament where someone specifically gives thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. The text, verse 15, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And this encourages us strongly that if we want to glorify God, we give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, 10 lepers meet Jesus. 10 lepers healed by Jesus. One leper thanks Jesus. On Lake Michigan, a group of local university volunteers helped with a life-saving boat. On September the 8th, 1860, the Lady Elgin struck rocks and started to sink. A theological student called Edward Spencer was on the lifeboat rescuing people, and he rescued 17 people that night from drowning. But he was badly injured in this life-saving attempt, and he had to give up his theological studies. But we read that he lived a full and happy life. On his death, his family included in his obituary that not one of the 17 people that he saved that night, not one of them ever come back to thank him. Jesus asked the single leper who came back to thank him, verse 17, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? To show our gratitude to the Lord Jesus, we must continue to do what he has prepared in advance for us to do. Are we?
Shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. shepherd, nothing can I lack. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm me when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine,
shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time of fellowship that we've enjoyed together today. We may not be gathered together in one place, but our hearts are gathered together in worship to you this morning. And we thank you for the time we've shared. We thank you for the sharing of your word. And we pray as we move off into a new week that these things that our brother Laurie has shared with us this morning might burn in our hearts, Lord, and you would continue to teach us. And we pray that you might be with your people this week as schools return, as life begins to feel a little more like normal, that you might just continue to be with us and strengthen us. Give us the grace to deal with these things that we're living through just now. And in our lives and in the way that we conduct ourselves, we might bear witness to your glory and to the transformation that we have experienced through your Holy Spirit. And as we close our service, Lord, we give praise and glory to you. Reading from Ephesians, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We'd like to thank you again for being with us this morning, and we do hope the service was a blessing to you this morning. And for those who know where to find us, we will be on Zoom for a chat and for a coffee after the service. So thanks again for being with us. God bless you.